your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
Somebody say, raise them up.
Raise them up.
And why don't y'all raise up and stand with me? Let's get started.
Okay.
That was too easy, y'all. Go on and raise on up and stand with me. Turn to your Bibles, the book of Mark, chapter 9. Mark, chapter 9. Mark, chapter 9. As you find Mark, chapter 9, we have some beautiful ladies of distinction. Now, Tish, these are the Zetas, correct? Say it one more time. Yeah, I couldn't say that word. I'm glad you said that. Say it again, Amika. Latin for friends. Okay. And they're here celebrating 70 years of service. Give God a hand of praise for them. That whole row, those whole couple of rows. Amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us on today. It is our honor to have you here at Greater Bethlehem Baptist Church. And we got to take a picture afterwards. Y'all looking real good.
Amen.
And see, I got the blue. See, I got my blue on. Coordinated. I'm coordinated. Mark chapter 9. I want you to just, I want to read the whole thing, y'all, but I'm just going to read verses 28 and 29. I'm going to read verses 28 and 29, and just give me a moment here to get myself together. All right, Mark chapter 9, verses 28 and 29. After he had gone into the house, his disciples privately asked him, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he told them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer."
All right.
Let me say that again. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer. One more time. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
I want to put a tag on this text and preach for just a moment from the topic, fight for the power.
Okay.
Fight for the power. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a moment of prayer. Father, we're so very grateful for today. We concur with the psalmist that this is the day that you have made. And Lord, we are rejoicing evermore for the privilege of worship. Father, we're grateful for the dancers and the praise team and the men who all set the atmosphere for us to study your word, to examine the truth of your word. Father, we're grateful for our guests who are here on today as well. And Lord, we just ask that you would just grant us a little extra power on today, that we would experience your presence more intimately, that we would be more attuned and in touch with your word of God. But most of all, Father God, that we would not leave here the way that which we have come. Father, we're asking, we're seeking for spiritual growth and transformation for every single one of us. That this would not be a routine, but that our coming here week after week and sharing moment after moment, day after day, would be growth points for each of our lives. We glorify you now. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, ushers. Thank you so much for your service. Fight for the power. Our message moment for today says this: spiritual power can only be accessed through encounters with God. Spiritual power can only be accessed through encounters with God. We have been in the series Spiritually Fit for the last several weeks, and the objective of this series is to help each of us to take some moments to examine our spiritual growth and maturity, sort of a spiritual checkup, just to see how we're doing. So in presenting this series, we look at several aspects of what it means to be spiritually mature. Get ready to write. So it's been our hope and that each family, each person, each member would become spiritually fit. Every believer, number one, is in progress. Get that down. Is in progress. We're all a work in progress. And as long as there is blood flowing through our veins, we are a work in progress. Now, there will come a time when we will have to labor and study and serve and work. But for now, watch this. We are a work in progress. Secondly, every believer must produce fruit. 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 Every believer. There should be some spiritual fruit in your lives. And we looked at several passages to help us to understand what it means to be a fruitful, a productive Christian. Third, every believer must dwell on the good. Dwell on the good. Paul says, I need for you to think on these things. And these things that are good and righteous and right and loving and those things that bring glory to God. So our minds have to be regulated, Stephen Brown, by the Spirit of God. In progress, produce fruit, dwell on the good. And today, we're going to discover that every believer must have encounters with God. Every believer must have encounters with God. Mark chapter 9 is one of my favorite passages. As a matter of fact, this story is what I preached my trial sermon on January the 16th, 1994. And it has been a passage of scripture that continues to reveal more and more things about the power of God through prayer. So in this scene, it's an unusual thing taking place. You have the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had been endowed with power and authority over demons and wickedness and all kinds of things, they found that they were unable to do so with a little bitty boy. So as the Lord Jesus Christ and his two closer apostles, disciples, descend from the mountain of transfiguration, they are met with individuals who are just upset. See, when I bring my business to you to assist me, but I find that my business is worse after having brought to you, I got a problem with that. And so in this text, we have the first thing I want you to get down is we have unbelief. We have unbelief.
And it is all throughout the camp. These scribes are speaking to people in the crowd, and they're planting seeds of unbelief, which I believe was a hindrance to the power of these disciples. They were doing what they thought they knew to do, but somehow, some way, things just don't work out. Look at verse 14 of Mark chapter 9. When they had come to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes disputing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were amazed and ran to greet him. He asked them, verse 16, "What are you arguing with them about?" Verse 17, someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." Jesus replied in verse 19, "You unbelieving generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me." Somebody say unbelief. Most folk in the crowd don't believe in you or your God. I need y'all to catch that right now. Most folk in the crowd don't believe in you, Stephen Brown, or the God with whom you speak about. And we have to open our eyes to that reality. We are operating day in, day out within the context of unbelief. But we know about that out there. The problem is when the unbelief infiltrates the church. Unbelief. So watch this. I'm talking about that crowd, those folk who don't believe. They are waiting for you to fail. They are watching and hoping that you fail. This is why they look at you with such skepticism. You have presented yourself as a man or a woman of faith, and they're just waiting for you to mess up. Why? Because they don't believe in the first place. So it's difficult to succeed in spaces of unbelief, but it's not impossible. Somebody say unbelief. So this context of this text is littered with unbelief, but not just unbelief. Secondly, we see limited power. Limited power. The brother said, "I brought him to your disciples and they ain't do nothing. I done came all this way. This boy is convulsing and foaming at the mouth. He's falling all over the ground, and I brought him to your disciples and they looked at me like, what am I doing?" See, the disciples were attempting to operate in their own strength, not in God's strength. They misunderstood that although they had been conferred with power, watch this, that literally means that God's power is at work through them. It ain't them. It's God working in them. I'll stop by here to tell you, child of God, it ain't you. It ain't me. It's God working in and through. And so these disciples experiencing limited power. Why? Because they got confused as to whose power it really was. Somebody say unbelief. Somebody say limited power. But here's where we're going to land the plane. This all happened because of a lack of prayer. Oh, a lack of prayer. Lack of prayer. Let me catch you up with the text. So verse 20, so they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, meaning Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening to him?" Jesus asked his father. "From childhood," he said. "And many times it has thrown him into the fire, into the water, to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can." Everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the father of the boy cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was quickly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never again enter him." Then it came out, shrieking and throwing him into a terrible convulsion. The boy became like a corpse, so that many said, there's that cloud again, he's dead. But Jesus, taking him by the hand, raised him up, and he stood up. Here is your clothes. After he had gone into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he told them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer. Woo! Whatever version you got, I don't care which one you got. Let's read that statement in quotes at the same time. It doesn't matter your translation. Ready, set, read. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer. So we have unbelief, limited power, and it's all because of a lack of prayer. We cannot do the Lord's work without the Lord. Y'all got to catch that. We can't do God's work without God. Trust me, several have tried and failed. See, the Lord will allow you to start, to seemingly make progress, to get the ball rolling. Then momentum will just stop. Progress will regress. Why? Because you ain't praying. They ain't saying, let me try this out. Because you ain't praying. Why is it, Pastor Brown, that things don't seem to go where I want? Because you ain't praying. See, the lack of prayer helps us to understand that we're operating in the flesh and not in the spirit. We're operating in the flesh and not in the flow of God. So as a consequence, when you're operating in the flesh, you serve with an attitude. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. You preach in anger. You are performing and not ministering. And as a consequence, all the Lord Jesus is trying to get them to see is, you're trying to do my work without me. Have you considered prayer? Y'all know that old song, Have a Little Talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry, but then he'll answer by and by. And when you feel a little prayer wheel turning, watch this, you know a little fire is burning. I found that a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Is there a witness in the house that can testify? I tried to do it in my own strength, but when I turned it over to Jesus, he worked that thing on out. So in our text for today, Jesus draws that conclusion. He says, this kind can come out by nothing. Nothing. Not your intellect, Steve Brown. Not what you know about the condition he's suffering, Steve Brown. But prayer. And I just want to ask a question. Have you considered prayer? Come on, preacher. I know you've tried everything else. You've gotten consultants. You've gotten all types of advisors. But have you considered prayer? You got a life coach. You got a career coach. You got a somebody to tell you your horoscope. You got what? Yeah. Yeah, you got, you know, you check all that. Have you prayed? I mean, really. See, if we want to be able to experience power in our lives, then we must fight for the power. We must war for the power, like that little lady in the closet. We must labor for the power. Yes, salvation is free, but growth costs. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me this morning. So in our text, the quote unquote, this kind was demons and destruction. The boy was fighting for his very life, but the enemy in this context was winning. He was possessed and he was in pain. But I just stopped by here for just a few moments to ask you the question. What is the this kind in your life? What is it that has you bound, but yet you're still able to function somewhat. You're still trying to will yourself into a spiritually mature person and overcome whatever the this kind is in your life. And as a consequence of us trying to use our willpower, using our own strength, we completely neglect the presence of God ruling in our lives. See, when believers attempt to change in our own strength, we quench the Holy Spirit who is at work in us. You're overcoming whatever the this kind is in your life will not take place absent from the Spirit of God. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. You can medicate it. You can therapy it. You can get a whole bunch of people to come over and talk about it. But until you tap into praying over it, for it, and through it, you're going to still have it. And I don't know who I'm talking to. You've been wrestling. You've been trying to overcome. You've been trying to will yourself. I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm just not going to think about it. I'm just not going to go there. Y'all, that willpower only goes so far. I got a witness up in here. So until you tap into that power source, you'll continue to hang around mediocrity, lukewarmness. You love the Lord, but just not too often. You're committed to the church when it fits your schedule. So this word from Christ is a command for every single one of us to develop our prayer lives. And he told them, verse 29, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer. Jesus is telling us, don't come up against a spiritual force if you are not spiritually fortified. Don't come up against things that are bigger than you without something bigger in your arsenal. Don't try to compete and overcome with your willpower, because your willpower will run out. And what he's helping us to understand in this text is the hour of examination cannot be the hour of preparation. I need you to understand this. See, we think that I can just all of a sudden put my hands together and blah, 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 Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Treating the Lord God like a genie, like he's Siri on our phones, like we can just call on him and just tell him what to do. That's not how God operates. There has to be concentrated time spent with God for us to operate in the power of God. Yeah, we gotta fight for the power. So then, within the construct of these what we call spiritual disciplines, it is essentially about practicing the presence of God. I need you to catch that. Practicing the presence of God. Let me teach you a little while. See, to approach prayer as a spiritual discipline is to build into one's life specific times for prayer. It is to explore and to use new ways of prayer. It is to learn to be conscious of an ongoing conversation with God in the midst of your daily life. By means of this discipline, prayer moves from the periphery or the outside to the center. In other words, the aim of the spiritual disciplines is to create space for God in our lives. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. We have to create space for God in our lives. And when you do that, then you begin to experience him like you've never experienced him before. I'm not making this up. Jesus told them that in verse 29. because it was basically how he lived his life on earth. The 3 years he was on earth, they were filled with prayer. I'm going to give you three or four instances. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Write it in your margins. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. This is Jesus in prayer. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. Mark chapter 6, verse 46. After he said goodbye to them, he went away to the mountain to pray. Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through 36. Listen, then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He said to them, "I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake." He went a little farther and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Somebody say, Jesus in prayer. He didn't give them this command in verse 29 just flippantly trying to test them. He's trying to show them, based upon his lifestyle, how to fight for the power. So when you look at the prayer life of Jesus Christ, you see three clear things. Get ready to write. Number one, Jesus prayed privately. I want you to get that down. Whenever you see Jesus praying, he is getting away from folk. Y'all help me here. He is putting some distance in between him and distractions. Stephen Brown's problem is I try to pray around folk. Amen. You got folk running here, throwing socks here, throwing this, throwing that, daddy iron this, and it ain't going to happen. So you got to create, watch this, the previous statement I made. You got to create moments that you protect for God. He prayed privately. Secondly, now one more thing about that private. Don't pray publicly if you ain't been praying privately. I got to throw that in there. Let me sip some tea on that. Stop trying to pray public if you ain't prayed privately.
All right.
Come on, come on. Preacher.
Just come on. Just come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody say privately. Right. Secondly, Jesus prays consistently. 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 All throughout his itinerant ministry, his earthly ministry, Jesus was praying. And I've told this many, many times before. You may think you're busy, but let me tell you something. You are not nearly as busy as Jesus. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. No, you ain't. You are not, you're not that busy. No, no, no. And if you are that busy, wake up earlier, Stephen Brown. If when you wake up, your day meets you in the face, you got to wake up a little early to get ahead of your day. Well, that means you got to go to bed a little early the night before. So that means you may not be able to see that television. I need some help up in here. It becomes a chain reaction of priorities. So you got to give up something, to get something. See, we're trying to squeeze God into our schedule, and God is like, that's not how I operate. I love you. I appreciate the sentiment, but that's not how I roll. You got to seek me first. And then I help you prioritize this other stuff. Somebody say privately.
Privately.
Say consistently. Consistently. Thirdly, passionately.
Yes,
passionately. Passionately. The Lord Jesus is praying, and this last verse I reference, Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through 36, and many references have said he was praying so passionately that his sweat looked like drops of blood. It was passionate. It was intense. And I commit to you, beloved, that we ought to pray passionately to the Lord. Prayer is not the time for you to just be buddy-buddy with God. Now, there's a time when, yeah, Jesus is my homeboy. I get all that. It's all good. But there are some moments and there are some this kind of stuff that you're dealing with that you're going to have to be a little more passionate, a little more intentional, a little more powerful. about your prayer life. And things begin to happen when you pray with passion.
E. Stanley Jones, the world-renowned missionary and man who was committed to prayer, he said, prayer is like this. If I throw out a boat hook from the boat that I'm on and I catch a piece of land and I begin to pull, he says, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but prayer is aligning my will to the will of God. And that's what prayer in a passionate, consistent, private way, that's what begins to happen in all of our lives. See, you wonder why that change is not coming the manner with which you thought it should. You got to pray with some passion, with some consistency, Steve Brown, so that you can experience the power. So we've got to put some order in our private world. If what we're doing privately has gotten us where we are publicly, then perhaps you need to fight a little harder in prayer. If what you got right now is based upon what you've given, perhaps you need to give a little more. And that's for me and for everybody else. I woke this morning so convicted, I just started grabbing my family members, just praying for them. I was just so convicted that we can get so in the routine of life that we just miss these moments that God has given us, and we get so busy with this and that we just miss it. So if I want more, I got to give more. I'm going to stay right here. If I want more, I got to give more. And I don't think there's anybody under the sound of my voice that does not want more. You got to give more. Jesus said, this kind will not, cannot come out but by nothing but prayer. So, beloved, somebody say, fight for the power.
Fight for the power.
Come on, say, fight for the power.
Fight for the power.
First thing I want you to get down is we have to fight for access. I want you to get that. Fight for access. Fight for access. What are you talking about, Pastor Brown? Prayer allows us to access the presence and the power of God. Prayer does that. So we got to fight for access, that we would have more and deeper and greater access to the presence and power of God. This will not happen with you sitting and listening to a sermon about prayer. This will not happen if you read a book about prayer. This will only happen, Stephen Brown, if you begin to pray. Right. Oh, your neighbor fell asleep. Give him a nudge. Give him a nudge. I need to hear this. This will only happen if you actually pray.
All right.
Fight, fight, fight for access. We're talking about access. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Scribble that in your margin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says this. For through him, we both, Paul says, me and y'all, have access in one spirit to the Father. He says we have access in one spirit to the Father. We have access. Ephesians 3 and 12 says, in him we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. So I want you to catch this. We're actually fighting to use the access that we've already been given so that we can be continually receiving the power and the presence of God. God, I hope y'all are hearing me today. Y'all, this access is so important. The Lord has opened up a path through Jesus Christ. All you got to do is use what he's already given. Not long ago, we were staying at a hotel, pretty nice hotel, if I may say so myself. And there was a club room level in this hotel. Now, everybody couldn't go to the club room.
All right.
Special level, coach.
Okay.
And I'd paid for that club room.
All right.
But I didn't quite understand how the building worked, how a hotel worked. So I didn't know how I was going to get on that floor. I knew I had paid for it. So talk to the front desk lady. Said, oh, no, Mr. Brown. See, the key that you have not only opens your door in your room, but it also gives you access to the club room level where you'll have a host of amenities. We have a chef. We have, amen. We have nice things. Now, here's what I want y'all to see, y'all. I had access all the time. But I didn't realize it. I didn't know it. I didn't understand it. All I had to do was take my key. I need a witness up in here. And put my key against that elevator. And it would have taken me to the club room floor. Is there anybody in the house that has to testify? I ain't been using my access like I need to. But starting today, I'm going to fight for my access. I'm going to fight what Jesus made available unto me. Somebody say fight for it. Come on, say fight for it. So Jesus is declaring in our passage for today that if you want to access this power, you've got to meet the Father in prayer. Two things under that. Number one, you have to find your space. You got to find your space, y'all. I don't know what your space is. I know what mine is, but you got to find yours. You got to find your space. Parents, you got to find your space. Don't let them critters take over the whole house.
All right.
Y'all know I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I see, this is a generational thing. Listen, when I grew up, there was a room in Gannon's house. Y'all, she had put the fear of God so strong on me, I would literally run through that room. Because I would never, ever, ever, ever be caught dead in that room with the plastic on the sofa. Y'all ain't hearing me. That was not my space. Had some little crystal figurines. It was a little boy's just heaven. But if I ever got caught in that room, y'all wouldn't see me standing here today. So we know how to keep kids and things out of certain spaces. Y'all hearing me? You got to find your space, Stephen Brown, where you can fight for access. Secondly, you have to speak your peace. You have to speak your peace. See, it's time for us to stop these little cute prayers. They're just too politically correct. The Lord needs to know and he needs to hear it from you that you're not content dealing with whatever your this kind is. See, the boy in the text, he was dealing with demons and possessions and pain. What is your this kind? Everybody got a this kind. Look at your neighbor and say, you too. Look at them. They think they exempt. Everybody got a this kind. I need a witness up in here. Everybody got a this kind. You may polish it up. You may make it look better. But everybody got something with which they need deliverance from. So what's happening here, listen, you got to find your space and you got to speak your peace. Why get up early and go to that place if we just going to play with God? I want you to go in there like that woman went into her closet at the beginning of that video. I want you to go in there and I want you to labor in the presence of the Lord. Whatever it is you stand in need of, and you can't just do it one time or 1 week or 1 month. Of the first part of the new year. Some of us ain't prayed like we prayed from January through February and March, and now we got in the end of March and we done stopped praying already. Come on, y'all, stay with me here. We kicked this year off spending intentional time in prayer. Let me press on. Somebody say fight for access.
Fight.
Secondly, you have to fight for substance. Fight for substance. What do you mean fight for substance? Scripture gives us knowledge for our prayers and our spiritual lives.
That's where your substance comes from. Now, I understand Romans chapter 8 says that when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit interprets our groanings and our moanings. But on the flip side, we ought to be praying Scripture. Y'all stay with me here. Praying Scripture. See, when you get that word, oh, God, in your heart and in your mind, it helps to tailor the time that you spend with God. When I get deeper into the Word of God, I stop asking for silly stuff. Because my asks go into a higher place. I want more than this stuff down here. I begin to want the things money cannot buy. Scripture gives us knowledge for our prayers and our spiritual lives. One of my favorite passages connected to this is Psalm 1, 1 through 2. It says in the Christian Standard Bible, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, verse 2, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. Somebody say meditate. You got to meditate on that word. The meditation of the Scriptures and prayer and intercession are a service that we owe to God. And because the grace of God is found in this service, this exchange, we should train ourselves to set apart a regular hour, a regular time for prayer, for Scripture. This is not legalism. This is orderliness. This is fidelity, says Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This is allowing your private world to be put in order in a way that glorifies the Lord. So when you fight for substance, you want your faith to be built on something greater. You want your faith to be built on something beyond you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching, handling the word of truth. So you got to fight to have substance in your faith. It's not corny to study. It's not corny to study. So don't allow my study to pass for your study. I need y'all to catch that. Yes, your pastor study. I got a pastor who study. Yes, you do. But my study is my study. That ain't your study. What you're doing right now ain't studying. You're taking notes. You're listening. You may or may not be saying amen, but that ain't studying. You got to fight for substance. Let me press forward. Three things about that. You ready to write? These are extra. Number one, you got to study the Scriptures. You got to pray the Scriptures. You got to live the Scriptures. I need y'all to catch that with everything you got, both hands. You got to study. You got to pray. And you got to live the Scriptures. I remember when I was in Vacation Bible School, tell us how to hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him. That has stuck with me since I was a boy. And I understand that my ability to consciously overcome and sidestep the enemy's attack is through the substantive word of God. So you got to fight. You got to fight for substance. You got to fight for access. Thirdly and finally, as we fight for the power, we have to fight for intimacy. Fight for intimacy. Fight for intimacy. Worship allows us to experience the presence of God anywhere that we are. Worship allows us to experience the presence of God on a continual basis, anywhere that we are. I taught us several months ago that worship is our response to the revelation of God in our lives. So then, worship starts from the recognition of the sin in our lives and our need for God, proceeding to an awareness of God's provision of forgiveness and righteousness and new life in Christ, in turn leading to the response of a faithful child of God. So not only is prayer an element in gospel worship, worship is shapeless without prayer. They're tied together. So when you worship, you ought to pray. When you pray, you ought to worship. You ought to have them both in that space. Psalm 5 and Psalm 63 speak to seeking God in the morning and seeking God in the evening, basking in his presence, experiencing his glory. And just in case you forgot, that's how Jesus started his day. Mark chapter 1:35, very early in the morning, he went off to spend private time with the Lord. Two things and we're done. First is this: you need to be spending time in his presence. You need to be spending time in his presence. So when you determine that space and you set the atmosphere for that time. And it doesn't have to be early in the morning. It's just what scripture suggests, but we're not going to be legalistic about that. Just as long as you have some private and some intentional time with the Lord, you ought to be spending time in his presence. Don't let stuff distract you. Leave the stuff that would distract you out, Steve Brown. Secondly, sending him glory and honor. Sending him glory and honor. Speaking and worshiping him. Well, Pastor, I can't sing. It's not about your sound. It's about your heart. I don't know, but one good song, sing that one song from the depths of your heart. So it's all about tapping into this power and having this power. Y'all, we got to fight. We have to war, because if we don't, things will interfere and the connection will get weaker and weaker and weaker. Seminary missions classes, Professor Herbert Jackson told how he was a new missionary in this region. And as part of being the missionary, he was given a car. He was grateful for the transportation, but the car wouldn't start without a push. Anybody know about them days? Amen. So after he considered the problem, he said, you know what, I'm gonna figure this thing out on my own. So he went to a local school and got some kids to push him that first week. Kids running behind him, pushing. He realized, if I didn't have anybody to push, I had two options. I could back the car in, or I could just leave it running. And that's what brother did. He's like, listen, I don't have a solution. I ain't got no money. Brother Jackson said, I'll leave the car running, or I'll back it in, or help me find somebody to push. That's all I got. A couple years into that, after doing that every day for a couple years, his missionary assignment got replaced, and the new missionary came, and he began to explain to this young man how he had to deal with his car that he would now have. He said, wait a minute, Mr. Jackson. I believe the only trouble is a loose cable. So he gave the cable a twist, and then he stepped into the car, this young missionary, and he began to turn the ignition. And as he turned that ignition, something began to happen. And he was sitting there and he was wiggling the cable. And he got back in and he turned the ignition. Oh, man, what's my thing? Man, I had a nice little thing. Where'd it go? Come on. For 2 years, old man Jackson had been trying to start the car by leaving it running or by backing it in. But all he had to do was tighten his cables. You ought to give me some help up in here. Is there a witness in the house that can testify that all I gotta do is tighten my cables? How do you tighten your cables? You gotta get down on your knees and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. How else do you tighten your cables? You gotta get your word. And you gotta flip through your word and say, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, Pastor, how else do you tighten your cables? I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help, my help, my help, my help cometh from the Lord. Is there anybody in the house that's ready to tighten your cables? You're going to pray like the Lord knows you ought to pray. You're going to worship and you're going to get in your word. Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Come on and bless him up in here. Come on and bless him. Come on and stand up on your feet and bless him. We're finished. Come on and bless him. Stand on your feet. Begin now to bless him and praise him and glorify him. Come on. Come on. Don't wait for nothing else. Just bless him right now. Shout out hallelujah. Shout out glory. Shout out praise your name. Shout out bless the Lord, oh my soul. Come on. Come on. Bless him in this place. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. Father, help us to fight for the power. Lord, we have to war for it. We have to go to battle for it. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Every person under the sound of my voice, Lord, we need more. Lord, we've been hanging around the periphery. Lord, help us to dig on into the center. Father, help us to experience you like never before. So, Father, whatever the this kinds are in each of our lives, Father, we pray for overcoming power. Father, we pray for believers who be committed to praying and laboring and interceding and searching your scripture so that our spiritual lives will have substance. We won't just be saying what somebody else said. We'll be saying what we studied ourselves. Oh, God, help us today. I pray for the men under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that you bless our men, these husbands, these fathers, to be the men, to be the protector, to be the prophets for their own. And, Father, I'm in line with them that we would take a greater ownership to the spiritual developments of our homes. Father God, we have to be right so that we can lead our families. Father, I pray for these women, these daughters of God. You've blessed many of them to be the head of their houses. Lord, I pray that we would take that title seriously, that we would be committed to your word and pouring the word and pouring over our children with prayer and believing that this is the best use of our time. Lord, we know other things we could be doing, watching television, taking naps, eating, but Lord, help us to prioritize you in our private spaces so that when we're confronted by the demons, confronted by the situations, we'll have the power that Jesus talked about. That power that can only be accessed through prayer. Power to bring our relationships back in order. Power to bring our health and wellness back in order. Power to bring our lives back in order. Help us, Holy Father. Help us this day. In the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, give God.